live of the Flight Test Podcast. We have a lot of people here today. We have me, Austin Fury. We have Alex Zavada.
I guess I'm
going to name people. We have Stefan Ostergren, Peter Schriepel, and there's a wild Josh Bixler running amok who might be joining us, theoretically, here shortly. So, actually, Josh can take my place because I have to leave in about 30 minutes.
What?
I know.
Where are you going?
Selling your beeswax. So we have some pretty fun stuff to talk about today, not least of which is we announced the Flight Fest dates.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So Flight Fest 2016 is happening. It's going to be in Malvern, Ohio, just like it's been the previous 2 years. And it's going to be July 14th through 17th. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yep, and all the updated information is on flightfest.com. And we're going to continue to add more updates to it as the event develops.
Yep. Well, we added some images to be more specific.
And we updated the dates.
That's true. We updated the dates. Just kind of refreshed the website a little bit. But all the fun stuff like registration and a schedule and all that fun stuff is going to be coming to the website soon. Right now, I believe if you go to the registration page, it's just a opt-in to subscribe to our mailing list. And that'll make it so you're the very first to know when Flight Fest is going to be, the registration is going to be open for it. So I think, this year's going to be a big year for Flight Fest.
I agree.
Let's hope so.
I think it's going to be,
are we going to have enough space?
I think that we're going to have more space than ever at Flight Fest.
Are we going to have enough space?
I think that we're going to have more space than we've had previous years. But yeah, I think so.
We're cutting it close.
I might need more runway for the project too, depending on what it is.
More runway than 2,600 feet?
More runway.
That's a really long runway, Peter.
Pianos are heavy.
I think we'll have trouble getting that one approved. But, you know, it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Yeah, that one may be a few years down the road. But yeah, that'll be a topic of discussion for what will be the group build project for this year.
It just feels like we just had Flight Fest.
Yeah,
it feels like we're just recovering. But in reality, it's been 6 months, and it's only 6 months until Flight Fest 2016.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely wild. But we hope you guys are excited about it as we are. We will be doing, I'm sure, some on-location updates as we've done in the past. Just some like brief videos. We'll be needing volunteers, as always. And we're excited to see some familiar faces of some people that... it's kind of crazy. There's a lot of people that this is going to be their third annual Flight Fest.
Yep.
What?
I saw a couple people commenting saying that it's becoming a tradition for them, which is awesome.
Right. And so hopefully it gets better every year. I think that last year was better than 2014, and hopefully we can make 2016 even better. But that is entirely dependent, typically, on the people that are coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things out of our control like weather. But yeah. This is predicted to be a pretty dry Flight Fest, though. I mean, pretty dry summer, rather.
Hopefully.
And I think with the El Nino stuff, I'm not a weatherman, but I've heard that means El Nino's, whatever that means, makes it drier on the other coast. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, tune in next time for the weather segment.
We live in Ohio. It can really do anything at any time.
Yeah, it could do anything. It could be snowing.
And pick up your copy of Austin's Flight Test Almanac. Where I make wild predictions that are almost certain to not come true. Wild Josh Bixler appears. Awesome.
Hey, I was hoping you guys would start because I'm slow.
Well, we don't have any headphones for you, so I hope that's okay.
How do I sound?
If you sit even closer to the microphone, you'll sound great.
I always mumble, don't I?
You do mumble a little bit.
You're just soft-spoken.
I don't want to take Stefan's mic. I feel bad.
No, you're not taking it. You're sharing it.
You're not showing this live because we're going to be awkwardly close by this mic.
Peter took your seat. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there.
You know what?
There.
I'm late.
That's true. You are a little bit late.
Actually, Stefan took your seat. Yeah. You should punch him.
Yeah. You guys will be happy to know a lot of people have been calling about the Rev 6 Naze board. That there's no, you know, at first it didn't work with Clean Flight, and it only worked with Base Flight. They since have cracked that with version 1.11.0. We did a setup video with it. And we also got to work with John Davis, otherwise known as Schizo, to get some custom tunes for an initial tune on the VersaCopter. Mm-hmm. So if you're flying an EPAC and you have a Naze Rev board, Naze Rev 6, this will get you going pretty well.
Awesome.
We were just talking about Flight Fest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just changed the subject.
No, that's good.
No, you came in and started talking about what you were thinking about.
Sorry, guys.
That's perfectly fine.
Flight Fest is way better than a Naze Rev 6. I'm so sorry.
Oops, I just peeked out there.
Are there people on the other line?
On what line? Line one?
Are we talking to people?
Line two? No, we're just talking to ourselves. Okay. Like we normally do.
Every day.
It's been a long time.
Although we are going to try something a little bit later in the podcast when we run out of things to talk about. We're going to try... we just did our first test of Facebook Live yesterday.
Okay.
Which was...
I watched it.
With zero planning whatsoever, I just clicked it and we went live.
Are we showing Facebook Live right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just ready to broadcast, so...
Oh, good.
If you are listening to this in the future, go to our Facebook page and sign up for Facebook Live updates. That way... Whenever we go live on Facebook, you'll get a little alert on our phone.
And we'll get you in trouble with your boss.
Yeah, you can stop all productivity for at least a couple minutes.
You know what? It feels weird because I know I'm not talking to anybody, but I really missed doing podcasts.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like a deliberate time just to get down and just to talk about stuff, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Missed you guys.
Yes. Missed you all.
Okay. So Flight Fest.
Yeah, we were just talking about Flight Fest. We were just kind of wrapping up that particular segment. But we were just talking about the dates. Go ahead.
I'm gonna come to Flight Fest.
You're gonna have to sit close to the mic,
though. I'm coming to Flight Fest.
You're coming to Flight Fest?
Yeah.
You're gonna make it?
Yeah.
What are the dates, Josh?
It's in July now, and it's mid July. I'm thinking the 14th.
Not bad.
Through the 17th.
Nice. Wow.
Am I right?
Oh, bravo. Wow.
Wow. That's without any Mountain Dew.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, Josh has been off the Dew wagon for a little while now.
I know. My eyes are clear and bright.
You've been off the...
Can't be bringing it.
You know, actually... If
your tail's slightly less bushy, but...
now I'm just nonstop talking. I don't want to be this guy. But no, if anyone noticed the FT Arrow episode that we did with Schizo and Davis,
I think some people noticed, yeah.
That was a come to Jesus moment for me that I'm getting a little bit rotund.
I've never heard that word.
I'm getting rounder and more bulbous in areas, and it was quite convicting. So from that point on, I think it was like a week after I got rid of the dew. And so if anyone comes to Flight Fest, do not bring me a love offering to do, because if I relapse, I'm going to die.
Just bring him
actually,
water.
Go ahead and bring it. I'll drop it out of the capybara.
Yeah, there you go.
If I go back to the do, it's going to be like nonstop, and then you'll just find me in a puddle of green.
Yeah, we can drop it out of the giant guinea pig and do deusplosions.
Deusplosions.
Like
we'll do something with it.
No sponsorship from him, I'm done.
Yeah, we'll do something with
it. Yeah, we tried so hard for like 3 years. We tried so hard for 3 years to get a due sponsorship, and it never worked out.
Never happened.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. All right.
So Peter, what's the group project build going to be for Flight Fest?
Well, that's up in the air right now. So what I'm thinking
no pun
about.
Intended.
Shut up. Hopefully, it gets up in the air.
It's actually not in the air.
But I'm leaning towards right now either this thing with nine wings. It was a long time ago. I don't know what the name of what it was, but it was like this flying boat. I think it only flew once. It had nine wings on it, motors in multiple locations. We may try to put a big printer in the center of it or something and print plans out for an airplane that has never been built before. I'm just spitballing ideas right here. So you guys comment something. Really, the thing's up in the air right now. Eventually, 1 year, though, I want to try for the world's largest wingspan airplane. I want to fly a grand, or not a grand piano, but an upright piano 1 year.
That's crazy.
That's somewhere north of 400 pounds, but we need a bigger runway and a bigger location.
A shell piano, like just the wood, or are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the whole piano, like flying the harp and everything, but drilling it out, though. Drilling most of it out, but having it actually function.
Expensive insurance policy.
Yeah, that's
crazy. But that we need a bigger location for that, and that we need to fly towards the end of a cliff or something.
And you can't fly near any houses because a piano falling on someone's houses. Granted, that's some Looney Tunes stuff right there.
You know, if it would crash, it would totally be flat.
Well done.
That's not very sharp of you.
Well done.
That's all I have. Well done.
All right, now Josh is now exiting the podcast.
Get out.
Leaving on a high note.
Wow,
that was really loud. Yeah, you don't have headphones on, so
no,
you can't
I don't.
Tell that. But now my ears are bleeding. Okay. What else?
Leave comments, please.
Yeah, leave comments in about what you think Peter should organize for as the giant group build, and he can have many people help him build something huge, a Flight Fest.
Lots of kids.
Yeah, lots of children, adults alike, all building. Flight Fest is happening July 14th to 17th. We apologize for people that we had to change the dates on. We didn't really publicly announce the dates, but there was some dates in August that we had mentioned maybe once or twice. And
something small called the EMA Expo.
You know, just kind of, you know, mentioned it.
We the slide, by the way.
We have a company that's trying... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have a company that is making some of the hotel rates cheaper for you guys. We're going to be posting more details about that on flightfest.com. Actually making some hotel rates a lot cheaper. So I would recommend maybe holding off booking your hotel a little bit until we can get some of those rates posted on the site. But anyway, long story short, they were looking into, talking to different hotels about securing some lower rates, and everything was booked that weekend for something related to football that happens in Canton called the Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Festival. Not a big deal maybe to most people, but in Canton, it pretty much books everything out for the entire weekend, and traffic's terrible, and yeah, so it wasn't going to work. We probably should have thought that through ahead of time, and by we, I mean me, but, but you know, at least we caught it when we did, 6 months before the event, so hopefully we didn't screw anybody up too bad. What else? So yeah, what do you guys think about the Drone Racing League?
Wow.
The DRL.
Someone spent a lot of money.
Other than wow. Yeah, I mean,
it's, you know what though? That was a lot of times you see drone racing, and one reason why I like the wings is because it's more visual.
Yeah.
For people watching, not just flying. This was cool because those machines were lit up with different colors, and watching them go through, I think it's going to be a really amazing thing for the technology.
Yeah.
And hopefully get people's mind around how great this hobby is.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, outside the hobby.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think it's definitely going to open up the eyes of a lot of people who are unaware. The only idea of what a drone is when they see a picture of a phantom on, you know, the news at night when it's attached to a bad story. So I think this is going to really open people's eyes and hopefully capture the imagination of a lot of young kids. And I think it's great. I know there's a ton of drone racing organizations out there already. But I think that stepping up the game, like what DRL is doing, it's only going to raise the bar and hopefully help move the industry forward and grow it to a point that it has never grown to before.
Well, and also, the Drone Racing League, is their goals are very, very different than any of the other FPV racing establishments out there. You know, they're building a sport, they're building a business. They most importantly need to build a fan base, which unless you've been living underneath a rock, I mean, you've probably heard of drone racing.
I saw on the YouTube comments, it's very antagonistic to say, unless you've been living under a rock.
What's that? Oh, that's antagonistic?
It is. It implies that people just don't know. So you haven't been following current events with multi-rotors.
Okay.
I just live under a rock. I don't care about your feelings.
No, we do.
Sorry.
We read the YouTube comments, and that was a really big one. Yeah. I think you hurt someone's feelings out.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know that was a politically correct
sorry. Sorry. Just had to stop the negativity right there.
Josh, I'm going to hit you after this.
So if you live underneath a rock, that's totally fine. We have no problem with that.
We love
no
rock judgment. Dwellers.
Rock dwellers are they're good people. Anyway, I forget what I was saying.
You're talking about multi-rotors, the boom.
So my understanding is that they're big. So like most of the pilots that are going to be for Drone Racing League are not going to be like average Joes. They're all going to be like friends of Drone Racing League or popular pilots. Like their whole goal is to sell media deals. For like television, sponsorships, and ticket sales. So really their entire business model is dependent on a fan base, on developing a fan base. So like I know they did that Quartz video that has been going crazy, has like 10 million views on Facebook, and they've just like published like what, like 18 videos on their YouTube channel?
Yeah, they released like almost 20 videos in one night there.
So they've, what is happening?
Somebody playing Pong?
No, an ad was starting to play. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I do like that they're all racing the same machine. Like it's a custom built machine that they're all racing.
I think it's cool. They're kind of like standardizing it. And I know that most of it comes down to pilot skill. But if you don't have the money, or if you don't have, I guess most of the pilots that there are going to be. That's the other thing too, is that not any pilot can sign up to race.
Right.
So it's like
handpicked by them.
This is like the NBA. They're drafting pilots pretty much to race in the DRL, which is kind of cool.
Just minus the signing bonus.
Yeah, for now.
You and I were talking a lot about that, and you articulated it to make it a lot more understandable for me, but it's kind of like different aspects of, you have NASCAR, you have Indy,
you have
Oval Track in the local community, and all these different organizations kind of complement each other. all around one hobby.
Yeah.
And some are really on a grand scale. Some are really to enable people in the grassroots to you know, network and to race against each other and to get in the hobby, like MotoGP. So yeah. It seems like it's a lot of energy popping up.
Definitely. And a website I like to follow is Google Trends. And it allows you just like to type in different topics and see what like the trend is on it. And specifically, drone racing, aka FPV racing, is like on this insane rocketing trajectory. Like at first popping up, just real subtly, like around 2013, and then just the past 3 months have just been crazy. So I think it's super interesting. And right now, it's at the highest point it's ever been searchability wise. And it shows no signs of slowing down. So I think it's going to be, you know, a big part that's associated with the RC hobby, for better or for worse, hopefully for better.
Yep.
But yeah, it just seems like it's on a different trajectory than something like Drone Nationals, where the goal is to get as many people involved as possible and as many talented pilots involved as possible. So yeah, different goals, I guess.
I did notice their machines, when they crash, they blow apart into a billion pieces. I've never seen a normal machine just
explode. I think that was a little bit of cinematics there. If you haven't checked out Drone Racing League's YouTube channel, that, like I said, they released about 20 videos. And I think they're probably some of the highest budget production value RC-related videos that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And actually, I watched it with Dave Knopp, our editor guy. And I was just watching the quads. I thought it was so cool. And he's like, oh, wait, pause it.
I remember that.
He's like, check out that video crew right there. You see that boom mic they use? That's like, he's like, see that tripod they're using? That thing?
That's
like,
a serious tripod, dude.
Yeah, I love the tripods. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and a lot of their videos, they are somewhat definitely scripted, staged. And it's because they're promotional videos. They're trying to hype it up. And they're trying to draw an audience.
Well, and my understanding is that, and I could be totally wrong about this, is that I don't think their intention is to broadcast the races live. I think that they're intending to have a live audience and then edit it afterwards for television, which I think is probably smart. Personally, I don't really want to watch the raw feed for a quadcopter race. Maybe it would be cooler because their courses look really awesome. They're incorporating like a lot of lighted gates, and they're going through like abandoned factories and stuff like that.
It may be, or I think it may be similar to BattleBots too, because if you ever watch like the TV series, they cut the highlight reel down because mostly just drive around poking each other, but usually the hits or something get published.
Actually, so. BattleBots is an excellent example of what I think probably if they end up doing a media deal with a television company or something like that, I think BattleBots is a great example of what it might end up looking like. Which I would watch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely watchable.
And just gut check on my part, I think they have a pretty good chance.
Yeah,
they have the owner of the Miami Dolphins was a big time investor. Another one is
Muse,
the lead singer of Muse, and I don't know if that's true or not. I just saw it in one of those videos.
If it was on the internet, it's almost certainly true. it's certainly true. At that point,
we're talking multi millions of dollars that are being invested into this. So it's going to be very, very curious to see what happens with it.
I'm really excited about technology. When you saw that one constant cut of them going around the stadium and down through the concessions area, then back out of the stadium and back up and around, and it was one solid cut. I know that wasn't put in there by accident.
Yeah.
And maybe...
maybe it's staged.
I'm not being fooled, right? That was a one solid cut.
No, yeah.
Right?
It was. To me.
I watched it like five times. It's like, is there a blip? Is there a fadeaway that you just constantly see? But if there are repeaters getting developed and things like that that enable you to have a good signal... I think that's only going to make the skill level rise quicker.
Yeah.
And I hope that trickles then over into the hobby because, you know, how great would it be to someday have a beautiful HD downlink that's crisp?
Yeah.
How
much
better could you fly?
I know that they were using, in their quads, they were using TBS crossfires for control.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Trappy was saying.
Interesting. Yeah, one thing I really liked was how they were just plastered with LEDs.
Mm-hmm.
Which made it just visually, just watching line of sight, really easy to tell who was who. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for not just the onboard camera view, but to really have a clear visualization of who is who line of sight.
Yeah.
Because there had to have been like 50 minimum, maybe 100 LEDs.
Well, even when we were at F3 Expo and there were races going around the Falcons Dome, it was almost impossible to see.
Yeah.
And I know from experience that it's even more impossible to film. So from a video production standpoint, if they're trying to get this on TV, that's a smart move to require your whole copter to be plastered with LEDs. I think I said there's one of the videos that they released. They said that their quads that they're making everybody use are like over 800 grams, which is a pretty hefty quad. Mm.
It's robust.
you saw that one hit the wall and then explode.
Yeah, I think there was some cinematics there.
They probably put some of those plastic nuts and stuff because they wanted that.
Well,
effect.
If you think about it, why do so many people watch NASCAR? Mm-hmm. It's not to watch a car go left 500 times.
It's for when things go wrong.
It's because things might happen, and it's exhilarating and exciting. And
well, let me put some flash powder in them. That way when they hit the wall, they explode too.
Well, for clarification, some people might watch NASCAR for them to go around in the track. Maybe more casual viewers, which I guess that's part of the point of drone racing leagues, is to pick up the casual viewer that would be interested in it. But yeah, I think that their biggest marker of success is initial momentum, which they appear to have it. So I think that's super important. So what else do you guys want to talk about? It's been a while since we podcasted.
It's been a long time.
I feel like we should have a lot to talk about.
No. I can think of a lot. I don't want to put too much too quickly.
We could talk about AMA Expo.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time there. This was our very first year going out to AMA Expo. Mm-hmm. It's basically just kind of like a Toledo show, weak signals for people that have been to that. It's basically what you'd expect in our expo with RC vendors.
In this case, AMA was really gracious. They gave us the educational room, and it's a big room, a really big room.
Yeah,
and we were able to meet up with an army of volunteers. And guys, for everyone that volunteered at that that expo and gave up of their time, thank you. It impacted so many people in such a great way, and it was such a pleasure, honestly, to see you all, work with you all, and to see the community at its best.
It also had the benefit of, I think, being one of the smoother trips that we've gone on.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, just for us personally, like it was a pretty smooth, seamless experience.
It was beautiful.
And we had a ton of people out there. We had yourself, we had Alex,
we had eight
Peter,
people at one point,
Jake Marshall, Josh Scott,
Jennifer.
Yep. Yeah. It was a big crew.
Yeah,
big crew out there.
Yeah.
We built the FT Sparrow.
Yeah, the Sparrow. I thought that was honestly going to just be a one and gone thing. What AMA talked about was making an experience last about 45 minutes to an hour with these groups, and we wanted to make sure that people could have an experience with using all the different techniques. So we designed something called the FT Sparrow, and it looks kind of like a bird.
A little bit.
That's why we called it the Sparrow.
A little sparrowy.
It has a V-tail on it, but it's one sheet, and it builds really quickly. You can build one as little 15 minutes once you've done it once, and it makes a really great little chuck letter.
Yeah.
And it glides pretty well, and Peter made the coolest launching mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work very good. It worked great at the shop. You guys probably saw it in the periscopes and whatnot, but it started to come apart out there.
It's my fault. I kept playing with it.
No, it's the dumb wheels. The wheels actually started to deform into donuts. First, they were made out like rubber.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you spin them up, they start to deform a little. But they were just deforming to a certain amount at the shop. But I took it down there and we kept using more and more. And then it started to deform into like almost like a vinyl record where it's getting really flat. I'm like, well, this isn't going to work very good. Yeah. And it didn't. But so change the wheels.
People enjoyed seeing it. And also the great guys at Karangi Airships. If you guys haven't seen that episode where we interviewed them, they make a really unique air machine. What do they call it? Would it be a blimp?
It's an airship. That's what they call it.
Airship. And they had a really big one. Well, in this case, they made a skin for us and came down, and Peter mounted his launching mechanism on the bottom of that. And when that finally deteriorated, they just entertained people and were really great sports. I saw a couple times they're encouraging the kids to like, throw it at the side of the blimp and it would spring back.
It was really hilarious. It was like a cartoon almost because it was very low pressure in the envelope, so the planes would go into the blimp and they get flung out backwards.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
But I think all in all, about 200 Sparrows were built.
Yeah, it's a lot of Sparrows.
And,
one of the things I like about the Sparrow is that it incorporates all of the build techniques that you use in all your designs for the swappable and all of our FT planes, and it's a quick build. So if you can build this, and it takes about 15 minutes, half hour, you can build any of our planes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think that the Sparrow has a big future as well, because there's been a lot of interest, actually just from being at the AMA Expo, in people buying bulk Sparrows for group activities, for kids and for
Civil Air Patrol, Cub Scouts, like all kinds of different organizations.
Yeah, so I think that there'll be lots of Sparrows out there being built. And is what I like about it is that because it uses all the build techniques that we use on our bigger planes, The skills are super transferable. So you're not just, not to knock little Balsa airplanes. I love those. But once you're done building one of those, that's really the extent of the experience. You're not going to transfer that much to anything else. But if you're actually, you know, getting a sanding block out and you're getting a glue gun out and you're, you know, doing all the different folds that we do, you can really apply that. If you enjoyed the scratch building experience.
I like the family aspect of it. We didn't have a where just drop off your kids and we'll build with them. What it was the family built the plane together.
Yeah.
And the idea was that mom, dad, children all took turns doing the process. That way, just one person didn't go home with a plane, but the whole family went home with a memory. But they all have that knowledge now.
Yeah.
And they can say, hey, you know what? It's a boring weekend. Let's go ahead and put another one together. And I think that's going to take off. And
yeah.
You know, we have a lot of happy accidents, I think, in flight tests. Sparrow's definitely one. And I think Jake Marshall's already working on incorporating it into STEM.
Yep.
And has a curriculum around that. And in groups, I think we'll be utilizing a lot. We're Alex, you and I are leaving in about, what is it, an hour and a half?
Yeah, we got to get going here soon.
Yeah, we're going to be leaving shortly to go back down to Georgia and get away from this ugly snow and do the Sparrow release with the RC version. And we're going to be flying with Schizo and Freibot.
Nice. Yeah, we're releasing not just a Chuck glider, but actually we threw, what was it, a Power Pack F or Power Pack A?
Just a little A in it.
Yeah, a little Power Pack A on the back of it, and it flew great.
Yeah.
And it's cool with a little FPV camera in the front of it. So that is another thing that I really like about it, is that it is a Chuck glider. It's a great Chuck glider, but it's also, with minimal effort, you can convert it to an RC. And so that's releasing, I think, the third week in February. The end of February.
Yeah,
And so yeah, if you guys like the Sparrow, not just for a Chuck glider, but use it for an RC, it'll be available.
Yeah, it's definitely takes a beating. You can really abuse it a lot.
A lot of Sparrows I built in some California kids got at the AMA Expo. A lot of those Sparrows went home to get electronics. I know a lot of people were building them to put electronics on.
Cool.
So
cool. You guys are amazing. You guys must have built at least 50.
I built a lot, yeah.
Yeah,
we brought 200 kits, and we could have easily brought 500 kits. Yeah. And if we had brought 500, we would have every single one of them would have been built. Sadly, we had to do kind of like pre-signups for it. Even though it didn't cost anything, we just wanted to make sure that people that pre-signed up were able to do it. And then we turned away, unfortunately, a ton of people that were like, I'd like to build one. And there's some people like, I would like to take two home.
Peter, you did something really cool, though, for the people, unfortunately, that weren't registered. You were entertaining them with
paper airplanes.
Paper airplanes. Talk about that, because it's amazing.
Well, yeah, I noticed a lot of people couldn't do anything, so I was just peeling around two folding paper airplanes and throwing them around. Next thing you know, a couple other people came up with some pretty unique designs. One guy had, like, a bunch of weird ones, too. I think he may have been exhibiting or something. I'm not really sure. But, those things were going around, and it was pretty hilarious. So there might even be an episode on that, involving some pretty decent ones for all of you that on our paper airplane fix. I'm kind of on track to that again, because I used to make so many of them in high school and whatever. And I'd experiment with all the designs, and that's actually how I got some of my early starts in model aviation, is paper airplanes, because it was all I could afford to do at the time, especially at a little kid. You could fold anything out of a sheet of paper, and that cost you literally nothing.
Well, you made a really cool one that you throw sideways, and it's like a boomerang. It comes right back at you.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Probably we're going to couple them for the episode. The traditional one, which everyone can fold, but some people actually have a hard time trimming that for some reason. And a very simple one where you can literally fold it with no skill whatsoever, and it flies great anyways. The boomerang one, and a variation on the world record design that I've folded, and it actually flies really, really well.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing. We had a couple, like towards the end of the event, we had a couple hours of downtime here or there. And it's pretty amazing how you can entertain yourself with one piece of paper, Peter. I watch Peter fold an airplane, throw it, go pick it up, throw it again.
Are you making fun of me?
Go pick it up, literally for 2 hours.
He did that in the shop the other day for 2 hours.
But it was pretty cool, because by the end of the event, there was like probably 10 to 20 airplanes all over the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just one little kid that walked by and just picked them all up and took them.
If you need to entertain Peter, give him a sheet of paper.
Yep. Actually, that may be a thing. Maybe at Flight Fest, we'll take capybara and we'll have everyone fold a sheet of paper.
And we'll drop them all out. Like a billion
paper airplanes. And the last one of the year wins a prize or something.
I was folding up a couple paper airplanes by the end of it. And it was pretty fun.
That's actually a really cool idea. Last airplane to fall gets a prize. That'd be awesome.
Quality.
Love and then somebody would caught in a thermal and fly away, never to be seen again.
And then they get all the prizes.
Or maybe we'll drop and see which one lands closer to like a target or something. A bigger ring would be better.
So what's new with you, Peter?
No, that's just about it. I'm not sure. I'm having a mental lock now.
You shot an episode yesterday.
Oh, yeah. A custom transmitter. Real small pocket transmitter. If you guys have those plastic ready-to-fly transmitters that come in the Horizon products, they're only like four channel. But if you guys didn't know, you can actually press down button combinations while turning them on, and they'll actually do different features like channel reverse. There's a VTEL mix, but no Delta, no Elevon mixing for some reason. So that'll be something that comes out shortly. And also a case on how to actually decase that and put it into a smaller box, because that's what I'm using it for.
It's pretty cool, I have to say.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kind of want one.
I think that'll be a popular episode.
I'll take two. Thank you.
Maybe we'll laser cut the kits if there's enough demand.
That'd be awesome.
So speaking of that, what's some upcoming episodes we have coming up? We have the Real Flight one. We haven't shot yet.
Yeah, we're going to be carrying Real Flight on the store. We always
talk about it.
Talk about how you should, you know, how great simulators are, especially if you live in a place like Ohio and you can't fly all throughout the year. But also, it's just a good way to practice. Simulators, there is a little bit of a cost to get into a simulator, but the nice thing is that it's never going to cost you any more than that. Whereas you could go out and buy a $200 plane, and if you don't land that thing perfectly and you break a landing gear, you're going to have to invest more as you have the experience. Whereas a simulator, you can try new things, try flying helicopters, try flying quadcopters, try going in different routes, and really get a good feel for what it's going to be like, and then invest the money in what you are comfortable with. Other than that, though, we're going to Atlanta to capture some content. We're doing the Sparrow. Phil Freybot is—he's really all about hydro dipping. He hydro dips pretty much everything he owns. So we're going to do a little how-to vid on how to hydro dip pretty much anything. And if you don't know what hydro dipping is, it's basically you can get amazing graphics and amazing finishes on different kinds of objects. Like, for example, I know Phil's old transmitter and his Fat Shark goggles are like copperhead snake skin. It looks awesome. You can do stuff like carbon fiber. You can just do solid colors. You can do patterns. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. So that's another one. We're also going to be doing some advanced NAS 32 setup videos, specifically on the Rev 6 board for you multi-rotor guys out there. John or Schizo is going to be showing us what's what when it comes to clean flight and how to set it up. So that's exciting, and that's all I can think about currently. Oh, we're going to go fly some VersaQuops.
VersaQuops!
Yeah. Josh has been working hard on finalizing these aluminum upgrade parts.
Boom.
So we came out with the G10 parts, and they work good. They're real solid, but we wanted to take it to the next level for people who are really crashing these things hard. And we have aluminum motor mounts, aluminum boom brackets, and they're actually anodized in different colors, and we're going to be building those and flying those with those guys down there, because I don't think there's not many people that fly as hard as Phil and John Schizo.
That's for sure.
So I also crashed mine like 5 times yesterday, and not a scratch.
Stefan crashes pretty hard too.
I do.
Official crash tester.
Likes a lot of concrete.
With Flight Fest coming up, if you ever see Stefan and he's flying a quad, just try to convince him to do crazy stuff, because 99% of the time he'll do whatever you say.
This is very true.
Hey, more flippity floops.
Right.
It's the best way to figure it out.
And speaking of Stefan, we've been seeing a lot more of you lately.
Oh yeah?
What's up with that?
He's been coming to work. That's why.
started showing up.
Right, I was working down at Lauren, and now I'm back up here doing.
Yeah. So recently, we our manufacturing and shipping grew to a point where we just didn't have enough room, so we moved that to an offsite location.
It's been great.
Been awesome. And Stefan decided to stay with us at the shop.
Yeah. You know, I went down there for a little bit, and I was like, you know, I miss my friends.
Well, you had been doing a lot of shipping and manufacturing just originally with the company. Yeah. And so to help with the transition, that sort of thing, you were kind of down there just helping out, which is awesome.
Pretty much 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
You and me both, man. That's what I got hired to do.
Yeah, bro.
Kind of. Well, I started doing lasers. Mainly lasers and a little bit of shipping and then a little bit of graphic design. And then that changed eventually.
I went down to do some shipping and manufacturing stuff during the Christmas rush. I wasn't invited back.
Wonder why. It's that because all those reships we had to.
I even said, I was like, hey, if you guys need me to come down again, let me know. Didn't hear anything. Dumb. Nothing.
Couldn't imagine why. It's because Johnny wanted an FT Spitfire, but he got a Mustang.
You're welcome.
Crushing
Johnny.
His hopes and dreams.
Because Austin.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I did all right. Oh well.
No, I mean, overall, you filled a need. You know?
I did,
and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they've already hired a couple new people already. So
that's awesome.
That's cool.
So they're moving and grooving down there.
Your wonderful wife is working down there as well.
Yes, she's the shipping manager as of right now. Under Eric Allender, who is the floor manager.
Eric the Awful.
Which is, yes, Eric the Awful, as we call him sometimes. Not that he's awful at all.
He's awfully awesome.
Awfully good.
Awesome is exactly what we're looking for there. So.
Well, and not to, give a big FT store plug, but if you do go to the store and you buy something, there's a little stamp that comes on each box that says packaged by... or shipped by, I made this. It's an actual like face stamp,
right,
of the person that packaged it. So you get a little personal touch there,
right.
We're really trying to work hard on our packaging and our just overall presentation of the product and everything. So it still feels very crafty and like you're getting something from FT, but we want to also try to step up the game a little bit where we can. So. Right.
Have to.
Something I wanted to mention before when we were talking about the quad stuff and all that. That right now, at least for the month of January and a little bit into February, the show has seemed very quad heavy or multi-rotor heavy, which is actually probably true. But which is awesome for people that are more into the multi-rotors and stuff like that. But I wanted to assure the plane people that lots of great plane content is coming. There's kind of an ebb and flow to the multi-rotor / airplane content. And honestly, in the winter, when it's super cold out, it's just easier to do multi-rotor content for whatever reason. But anyway, just to let you guys know, a nice healthy blend is coming your way. Where did Josh go?
Also,
he went. He was doing something on
vanished.
His phone.
Yeah, also, speaking of airplanes, I know there's going to be a big push to get some full-scale stuff.
Yeah.
Going. Yay, full-scale Fridays.
I don't know.
Spoiled.
Don't tell the video guys that.
Yeah. Don't tell Josh he spoiled it. But yeah, really is how we see Flight Test. Is we see Flight Test as a flight company, and the most of what we do and the biggest expression of what we do is RC. But it's not all of what we do. In the past, we've done the B-17 episode where we took an awesome ride with Adam Drain on a B-17, which was fantastic. We've done a sailplane episode. I feel like we've done a couple more.
The B-17 was life-changing.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't just fantastic. It was life-changing. But I think that's it. I think part of the reason is we all want to fly. I know.
Yeah.
I know I have my student pilot certificate, if that even counts for anything, but I flew a lot when I was in high school, and then I had to stop when I went off to college, because obviously all my money was going elsewhere at that point, but I know you've flown quite a bit, Austin. Peter has his private license.
Yeah, dude.
Josh, I think, has his license. Jim, his brother, has his license, so we all kind of have the itch. We fly all these RC stuff. We want to get actually in the air at some point, too.
Well, and for most people, I feel like that are into RC flight and to model aviation is that for a lot of people, they're just experiencing the mode of flight, that really fits their budget and fits their situation in life. And that's the case, that's the case for me for sure. But that doesn't mean there's not an interest in general aviation and full-scale aircraft.
And one of the other things, too, that I think we'll probably touch on quite a bit when we get into full-scale stuff is that it doesn't always have to be a $200,000 Cessna.
Yeah.
There is very, very affordable ways to literally physically fly that don't cost an arm and a leg. And I think that with Josh at the
reins, like cardboard.
We're definitely going to see a lot of that. But even just stuff like paragliding or like my brother's hot air balloon. The hot air balloon my brother flies now is expensive, but you can get into that hobby actually pretty affordable. I mean, cheaper than a cheap used car. You can get in the air, which is pretty cool.
And it really won't like take away or overlap the RC content because we'll still do our normal Monday, Wednesday stuff, but we're calling it Full Scale Fridays because it'll be an extra episode. It'll be released on Friday. So we've kicked around lots of different ideas. If you guys go to flighttest.com/podcasts and click on episode 105, you can leave us a comment on if you have an idea for a full scale episode. Some of the ideas that we've had is like airplane spotlights, where we pick it, like, for an example, like a J3 Cub or something like that. And we explore the aircraft. We talk about the history of the aircraft. We get in the cockpit. We take a flight, talk to the pilot, and really just kind of show people everything they would want to know about that airplane. And, you know, even if, you know, a full-scale J3 Cub is not on your shopping list, that'd be a super fascinating episode for Aviation Yep. Nuts. And we've talked about maybe doing, like, a little mini-series on how to get into paragliding or something like mm-hmm. that. Like, just content we think is accessible and interesting. And even if it is, like, a super expensive airplane that, you know, most people wouldn't be in the market for, like, it's entertainment. Like, yeah. I watch episodes on things I can't afford
Everybody
all the time.
Everybody watches Top Gear.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the cars on Top Gear I can't afford, but I still... If somebody is having that experience, I want to see it. I want to learn about it. So anyway, we hope that's something that people enjoy, and it's something that we're really looking forward to digging into in 2016. What else? What else? Wait, you guys want to do a little Facebook Live thing real quick? And, hey, Josh is back.
Sorry, I had to take
care of Joshua.
You thought that we weren't going to talk about you being gone. We were talking about you the whole time. Actually,
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Dang it. Well, make sure you skip like minute 30 to like minute 40. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Sorry, guys. That was rude of me.
No, not at all. Yeah, we understand. So what were we just saying?
Facebook Live?
Oh, yeah. We want to try a Facebook Live. Yeah. See how that goes. We'll see if it breaks. I know that a lot of people are trying it out. Now, in theory, if Stefan broadcasts, I'm going to be able to see the comments on this screen. And I think we'll be able to answer some questions from Facebook Live.
Just keep away from my desk. It wasn't that busy until earlier.
We have one viewer right now.
It looks like you're real busy. One viewer. Hi, viewers.
And then that guy left.
Dude,
all right.
Your beard scared him away.
So basically, it's just a phone call with one guy. Video call.
Yes.
We'll take it.
All right, I'm going to refresh and see if it's on our page yet.
Look at you.
Oh, there it is. I see it. Hi, everybody.
That's cool.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
So for those of you that are just tuning in on Facebook Live.
Hey, everybody. So for those of you that are just tuning in.
Oh, that's.
Stop
that's
that.
That's crazy. Woo, that was crazy. All right. So yeah, those of you that are just tuning in on Facebook Live, we're doing a podcast right now. And if you guys want to ask a question, we're going to answer it on the podcast. And I see a lot of comments coming in.
Wow, Alex joined.
I'm watching you.
Yes.
Hello.
So, one thing that we were just talking about, Josh, and we were talking about perhaps in 2016 working on some full scale content.
Did you tell him what we're going to call it, Peter?
We spelled
full
beans.
Scale Friday.
You know what? Though? That's okay because I was talking about it would be really cool when we could release this Friday content. And then Peter, without missing a beat, is like, Full Scale Friday. So, yes, that is near and dear.
So that would be hashtag FSF? Is that what that would be?
Sure.
Something like that?
Sure, why not? did you already go through the process where we talk about, you know, how we're passionate about anything that flies?
Yes.
So I don't...
We talked a
little bit totally,
about that.
I didn't See? Get to give the spiel.
You shouldn't have stepped out. You missed it, man.
Yeah. Long story short, my wife's car's engine blew up.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm not saying don't buy a 2012 Kia Sorento. I'm not saying that.
Go buy a Toyota 400.
I'm not, you know, it's a good thing it's not Kia Sorento test. Because I would have strong words. No, but...
That's like the opposite of a plug.
Yeah, it's an anti-plug. No, yeah. So we got to get a tote. But long story short, Full Scale Friday is going to be really, really cool. Did you tell them about what we're going to be, who we're going to be working with and things
no,
like that?
No, didn't talk about any of that.
Is it an appropriate time to?
Sure.
Well, okay. First off, beforehand, we got questions coming in.
Oh, yeah.
First question, since we're on Facebook Live, first question is, when's the FT Sparrow coming out?
22nd?
22nd of February.
22nd,
a couple
yeah.
more weeks.
We're
couple more weeks.
We're literally going to be shooting it tomorrow. Not with guns.
No, come on.
We're not rotorized.
Just cameras.
We're spoiling my fun.
What's some other questions? Wow, they're coming in fast.
Yeah, for those of you guys who are watching on Facebook Live right now, we're doing a live Q&A, so if you have any questions, shout them out.
If they're coming in fast, we should be answering them fast.
That's true. Chris
Gooden... Everyone's just saying where they're from.
Yeah, everyone's just saying where they're from. Chris Gooden says, what happened to Periscope? Nothing happened to Periscope. Just right now, Facebook Live is the new thing, so we're just trying it.
Just giving it a shot.
But the concept is similar to Periscope, which is...
You just can't give us little hearts.
Yes, you can't give us hearts, but you can't give us comments.
Yeah.
But yes, we're still going to be using Periscope for as long as it is a relevant social media platform.
Peter, when are you going to make another monster-sized build? Somebody wants to know.
The Flight Fest project or just something big in general?
They just said monster-sized build.
Monster-sized build. Maybe the cardboard airplane that I want to fly in. That's still on the table somewhere.
All right.
Talk about the right-wing jack. We haven't tried the right-wing jack yet. Will we be
able... I got to fly it.
Well, oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were at, was it Jonal?
Something like
it
that,
was,
yeah.
It was one of the CNC'd versions. The great guys at Stone Blue let me fly it, and it flew really cool.
That airplane is huge.
It scares me.
Yeah,
it because, is. Because, like, they launch it over their head where the blade's, like, going past your face, and it was really scary. But it flew good. It was definitely... It's not meant for flying in a small backyard. It's meant for punching out 20 miles.
Yeah, definitely.
So
it's big.
Somebody says, please build an FT aerial photo platform.
For fixed wing? Or
I'm
multi-rotor?
Assuming multi-rotor.
I assume multi-rotor, but it says platform.
I'm going to disappoint him, and I'll have to be the one to admit defeat here. We can't beat the Phantom 3.
That's true.
we can make it so you can build it.
Well, you're going to be making some bigger VersaCopters, though.
Yeah, we'll have some bigger VersaCopters, but the reality is going to be when you build it, if you want a serious gimbaled AP platform with the high functionality... You're going to have about the same price point.
Yeah.
But you will have the satisfaction of getting to build it yourself. And there is a 400-size platform for the VersaCopter, which will have a front and gimbal mount. So it won't be underneath. It'll be stretched out. Excited about that.
Joe says, will you guys come out with already-made designs with electronics installed for those who just want to fly?
Maybe someday.
Maybe. ARF, bind and fly. Sounds like a cool idea.
Secret project.
Oh, shoot, he saw me winking. Shoot, sorry. Don't wink back. That's off.
Definitely something that has been discussed, and you might see it in the future.
I missed his name, but a little bit ago, somebody was saying, when can we register for Flight Fest? And the answer is now.
Wait, the answer is now?
Yeah. Can you register?
No.
Oh, disappointment.
We're always changing dates.
But soon. But we did announce the dates.
Yeah, the dates are announced. The website's been updated a little bit. But you can't register quite yet. Where the register button is there's just an email opt-in. If you go to flightfest.com, you can opt in there. Or you can go to flighttest.com/newsletter. And as soon as you do that, we'll be able to... you'll be the first to know when registration opens up. But it'll be very soon. Very, very soon.
Lipo discharge. When should I land?
When your plane catches on fire and crashes. Nice.
Well, it sounds like Josh had another
emergency.
Car emergency and had to step out.
He's
but,
a busy guy.
But you know what? I feel good about this podcast.
Yes.
I feel like we've pretty much reached the end here. We have so many comments on this FT Live.
It's hard to keep up.
It is hard to keep up. They're coming in too fast.
Hey, there's Ted Gensch.
Will you be at Weak Signals? Yeah, I think we go pretty much every year to Weak Signals. We never have had a booth there.
No, we just go to check it out.
We just go to check it out. But maybe we can hold like a mini meetup or something.
Can I have your headphones?
Yeah. Let's see. Is that so you can't hear your phone?
Oh, wow. I felt out of place.
Oh.
Yeah, and also so I don't have to hear my phone. Yeah, Weak Signals, I'm sure we'll have at least somebody there.
Will there be FPV wing racing at Flight Fest? I would say more than likely, yes.
There will be everything at Flight Fest.
all the things.
All the things.
It'll be arrow fever.
Okay, guys. Well, I feel like we did it. I feel like we crossed the finish line with the podcast. That also has to do with the fact that I need to leave, but you guys are welcome to keep podcasting if you'd like.
I got like 4 hours of stuff I want to talk about, but I got to go to Georgia too. Well, we should record a podcast when we're in Georgia. But
maybe should 100% do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make that happen.
100%.
That would be a lot of fun.
Take the H4N or something with you.
Okay. Okay, we'll do that.
All right, guys. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Please tune in next week, 2 weeks from now, to hear Josh, Alex, John, and Phil.
Oh, really?
You just set it in stone like
wow.
that.
Wow. You know what? If we're capable of moving the weeks of Flight Fest, we could move that too.
That's true. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching.
Catch you next time.
See you guys.
Mm-hmm. Listening.
Goodbye.
Let's keep the Facebook Live going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Let's go show them something.
Oh, yeah. No.
Let's go show them things.
388 people that want to see something.
All right. 395.